Small doses.
Self-help from the hip.
Small doses.
We're talking that shit.
Small doses.
And keeping it real.
Small doses.
With me and Amanda Seals.
It's so funky. Welcome to another episode of Small Doses. It's your host, Amanda Seals. And I hope everybody's been having a good one, a grand one. I hope these episodes have been fulfilling your podcast needs and whatnot. So this episode is all about
side effects of the curve,
aka rejection. All of us can relate to this. And I want to be clear that this is not just about how the curve and rejection take place in like relationships or, you know, in dating, but also in your professional life, because don't nobody like being told no when they go out for a job either. So we're going to be talking about how to deal with the curve, the different nuances of the curve, because you got to understand there's all kinds of curves, okay? We also have a wonderful guest, my homegirl, Breisha Webb, star of Marlon, and also recent recipient of a curve from Drake, which I feel like, you know, he really curves himself when he's curving Breisha. I mean, that's just all I'm saying, okay? But we'll get to that later. First and foremost, y'all know what time it is. We always start the show with a little bit of jam dropping.
Jam dropping. Jam dropping. Jam dropping.
So this week's gem drop-in is an important distinction, as they all are. We must acknowledge the difference between a curve and a diss. Because you see, sometimes you'll be thinking that just because you got curved, you got dissed. And that is when you have a mollywop to your ego and you feel some type of way. And some people deal with this by like crying or eating a lot or doing just excessive kickboxing classes. You know, others down a fifth of Hennessy and just go ham. You know, everyone deals with this in their own way. But the reality is that you may not even really have to deal with it if you can actually determine first what's going on. Because all of this whole life thing that we're dealing with is perspective based. And a lot of times, if you can just gain perspective on an issue, it can save you from having to do a lot of BS to get to the other side of that. You know, it's like hindsight is 20/20. Let's get to that 20, like 0 to 20 real quick, as opposed to like all these other steps where we're like, ooh, I'm going to have to apologize to a couple folks for that. Mm-mm. So, a curve versus a diss. Where do we begin? Let's first start with what a curve is, okay? The curve is simply just, I'm not interested, okay? And there's absolutely like an opportunity to say that. You don't have to be interested in everybody. And there's this like saying, there's this idea that says that like you have to basically just be acceptable of everybody. But the reality is that it's just not the case. I mean, listen, I've had guys holler at me who are really nice guys, but I'm not interested in their penis. If I am not interested in your dick, we are just friends. That's it. And it's not a diss. It's just a curve. It's just like, that's not the path I'm on. We curving. Okay. We're curving. And you can do that in a way that's respectful, that doesn't have to shade somebody. Listen, I had a friend show up at my house one time, okay, with flowers. He showed up with a bouquet of flowers and he was like, you know, I'd really like to like, you know, take this to like beyond a friend level. And I was like, but aren't you currently like fucking somebody? And he's like, well, yes. And I'm like, but I like know the person you're sleeping with. Like, you're not a couple, but there's consistent like fuckology happening. And he's like, well, yeah. And I'm like, so you're coming to me while you were probably in her yesterday. How does this work? And he's like, well, I would then, if you said that you want to move forward, I would then start the process of shutting that down. And I'm like, I am not your lily pad, bruh. Like, that's not going to work for me. I'm not cool with that. And by the nature of the fact that you went about it this way, lets me know that that's not really the road I want to go down. And that's it. That was the curve. That was that. We still remained friends. No problem. I, too, have been curved by a friend. Yes, I had a friend and I was like, listen, I'm in love with you. Them's are the breaks. These are the facts. And he was like, well, I am in love with you, too. I'm like, great. He's like, gotcha, bitch. I am, however, damaged. I'm damaged and I just want to not ruin a friendship. And so I just feel like, you know, like we shouldn't go down that road. And I was like, you know what? I feel you. And this is why I felt him. I did not feel disrespected by this because he simply spoke his truth to me. And it was like, if someone tells you they're damaged and that they don't want to go down the road with you, believe them. Don't argue them down on that. Believe them. You say you damaged, you're right. You know you better than I know you. I am not taking this as a diss. This is simply a curve and it's fine. He then proceeded to try to kiss me, which, by the way, you can't curve then kiss. All right. Let's also like make that clear. You can't do a curve kiss. All right. It's just, it's not cool. It's very disconcerting for the mind and the body and the soul. So you can't do that. So all I'm saying is when it comes to the curve, it's simply someone just stating to you like, hey, this is not really the best thing for me, or maybe it's not the best thing for you. And here's why. And it's done in a respectful way. And there's that. Now, then there's the diss. The diss. The diss is when someone is straight up disrespectful about the curve being given. And typically it's only reserved for when the approach itself was disrespectful. You know, like you sometimes don't have to be, for the most part, you don't have to be disrespectful. But sometimes if someone like comes at you sideways, you're like, oh, I can't just politely curve you. I have to actually like diss you because I need to make it very clear that there's like no options or opportunities in this situation. Now you'll see like when you're walking down the street and a dude cat calls at you and you'll be, you know, you might say like, no, thank you. And they'll be like, fuck you, bitch. And it's like, damn, I curved you. That's all I did. I curved you. It shouldn't be that deep. But sometimes they'll come at you that when you're walking down the street and be like, I had a guy who was like, yeah, I bet it smell right. No, that's disrespectful. So I can't counter that with a kind curve. I gotta come back at you, meeting you where you are. And basically I said something to the effect of, you know, I would never allow your nose even remotely close to the smell site. But in which he was, you know, of course, admonished by. But the reality is that a diss is when someone goes to the point of disrespecting you in the curve. And I think that we really need to acknowledge the difference between that, because what happens is people get curved and they feel like they were dissed simply by being curved. And then that leads them to go on disrespecting other people based on that. You know, I know a lot of guys who are like, I got curved. And so now I'm done being a good dude. I'm done being nice. I'm done being kind. And they feel like now because they were curved that they have a right to disrespect women in the future by treating them like nothing. And I feel like that is absolutely not necessary. And I'm not even saying that it would have been right even if they had been disrespected, because you should never let other people's whackness affect your decency. However, it's understandable if that's the case. I don't think it's right, but I understand, in the immortal words of Chris Rock. However, this disrespect versus curve thing is also important because you find out about this friend zone business. And cats be feeling like they're disrespected if they're put in the friend zone. And it's like, no, you're not being disrespected. First of all, who knows if we were even friends in the first place? I mean, this might be an elevation for you to be in the friend zone. We might have just been an acquaintance in the acquaintance area. You know, like the reggae room at the club. See, that's the other thing too. Some dudes don't understand. Me letting you in my friend zone is actually a step above majority of cats. You was in the let out room at you was in the overflow room at the church, you know, where they got the folding chairs. That's where you were before. Okay, you couldn't even join in the getting of the spirit and whatnot, because you was in the side room with one TV and they forced you to all sit on. You can't even sit in the seats you want to, because they're like, we got to fill it up. You got to sit. You got to keep. Let's file it in, file it in, file it in. No. If I let you in the friend zone, brother, you just elevated yourself. So be happy. Don't consider that a diss. That may be a curve from your original plan, but it brings you closer to possibly elevating to another stand. Or you could simply just enjoy the fact that, you know what? I still get to be in her company, and that's cool too. Also, like, trust people when they say they know what they want. If I don't want you, like, that's not nothing personal. But you also should say to yourself, like, you know, cool, that's her loss. Like, that's not anything that you should be upset about. It's just like, that's the person's decision. And you have to understand that if that person makes that decision, hey, you got to keep on living your life. Now, we live in a whole world of people, all made up of different elements that are compatible in some ways and not in others. And you have to be okay with that, okay? You have to be okay with that. Now, I want to go over, though, some various curves and disses so we can acknowledge clearly. Because I think sometimes we need to have specific examples so that when they happen to you, you can be like, oh, you know what? That's a curve. Let me chill. Or you can be like, oh, that's a diss. Oh, hell nah. Okay, so let's start. First, there's the subtle curve. The subtle curve goes something like this. I was wondering if I could just, get your number or take you out. Actually, I have a boyfriend. You don't really have a boyfriend, okay? Maybe you do have a boyfriend. But what you've done in that situation is you've given them a subtle curve. You didn't hit them with the hard hat, okay? You just basically told them the truth in a way that lets them fill in the blanks for the rest of it. I have a boyfriend, AKA, so this conversation can go no further. Now, sometimes you'll get dudes who be like, that's cool. I need new friends. Yeah. We can just be friends. And that's when you're like, okay, let's get a direct curve. I don't want to give you my number. I find it disrespectful to my man. Okay, cool. And he can move on and you can move on. We call that the subtle curve. Then you have the diversion curve. Now, I just got hit with a diversion curve recently in the DMs. Yes. So somebody had a dope picture up and I had DM'd him and said, cutie. And his response was a perfect example of the diversion curve because he replied, Happy New Year to you and your family. Yeah. And it hit me like in my neck and I definitely had to let him know like, oh, wow, that curve hit me right in my neck. And you know what? I'll talk about it later when I'm with Brisha because she hasn't heard this story yet, and I'm sure she'll get a kick out of it. I'm absolutely not going to tell y'all who curved me, but just know nobody's above the curve. Nobody is above the curve. So then there's the Turbo Curve 2000. Now, the Turbo Curve 2000 is when there's no conversation, there's no politeness, there's just a distinct no, okay? I've had to hit a Turbo Curve 2000 before. Someone was moving in to kiss me, and I had to physically put my hand up to block my lips from their lips. Turbo Curve 2000. It sounded something like this. No. And he wasn't forcing anything, but it was just like he thought he had read something, and he was reading Sanskrit, and he doesn't know how to read Sanskrit, so he misread the rhythms, misread the rhythms, and got turbo curved 2000, turbo curve 2000, turbo curve 2000, yeah. Now, then there's the phantom curve, not to be confused with ghosting, which we'll get to. The phantom curve is the fallback. Texts start being a little less frequent, you know? They become less verbose, maybe more one-wordy. And in this case, you know, you either call it out and say like, hey, seems like there's been a change in our rhythm. Let me know what's up. Or you might just be like, you know what? She ain't really feeling the kid no more. Let me fall back my damn self, you know? Now, I actually hit somebody with a phantom curve, and they were very upset with me. They were very upset with me, and they were just like, I think this is disrespectful. And I was like, we talked for 2 weeks and went on one date. Like, this is not a level of diss. This is not a diss, because I'm not ghosting you. I have not by any means fallen completely off the map. I've just fallen back, okay? So that's like the remix to the Fat Joe Remy Ma record of the early 2000s of all back. And I think that sometimes that's, especially if you're not like a confrontational person or you kind of don't want to hurt somebody's feelings, that may be like the best option to go. You know, you just kind of start trickling off little by little. They get the picture. And if you act like you don't get the picture, then that's your ego. Because really, it's like, you see what's happening right here. you see what's happening. And if it's some new shit, then you absolutely like whatever. But if y'all are in a real relationship and someone starts to fall back, you may have to just do the call out. Hey, what's up? Why is this happening? They might tell you, you know, I don't know about us. Or it might be that they like really are going through something and they just didn't know how to tell you. But acknowledge it. The fallback is not a ghost. And then there's just the straight up curve. The straight up curve is when you basically just tell somebody like, this ain't for me. I had somebody hit me recently and he was like, hey, I wanted to know if we could start fresh. And, you know, the last time we were talking, I wasn't really focused and I wasn't really on my mark. And now I am. And I would love to get to know you more. Now, here's the thing about that. Great dude in terms of aspects. He has some great aspects. But he is not in a compatible situation for me. So it's not like I want to diss him, but I do have to let him know why this wouldn't work out of respect for him. Like, that's the thing. It's somebody that I've known long enough to feel like I got to give you the respect of like an explanation. Not everybody deserves a whole explanation with the curve, but sometimes the person does. And I do feel like you have to discern between that. The guy who was talking to me for 2 weeks and I fell back wanted a full explanation of why I'm curving. It's like, you don't deserve a full explanation. I don't even know your full name, bruh. I don't know your full name and you want a full explanation. But this man, I've known him for a minute. We've been cool. He deserves a full explanation. And what I said was, listen, I appreciate you, you know, coming directly and honestly at me. You know, that's something I really love. But I also wanted to come at you directly and honestly. And I said, the fact of the matter is we just have differences that I feel like would make this not compatible. You know, you've got a number of kids. You live in a different state. Our careers don't really align. And I just don't foresee this working out in the positive way. I could be wrong, but that's where I stand right now. And you know what his response was? I appreciate your honesty and I understand where you're coming from. Thank you for getting back to me. That's it. Because it's a good dude. But you know what the reality is too? Not every good dude is for you. Not good people don't necessarily make a good couple. Okay? And that's the other thing we have to understand with these curves. Some people really feel like, but I'm such a good person. Why don't they want me? And it's like, maybe they're not even in the right place to receive you right now. You know what I mean? Maybe they don't even know how to handle you. Or maybe you guys just really don't have stuff in common that makes you relationship level. But you're homie level. And that might just be where you at. Rock out with that. And sometimes I feel like we just be pushing stuff to the limit. Push it to the limit. And I know I do that. And I've had to really work on being like, no, this is fine right here. Stop trying to make hoes housewives, okay? And I don't mean that related to women. I just mean that in a larger sense of taking people out of the space that they have defined for themselves and trying to redefine it with your own decisiveness. Taking people out of the space that they've defined for themselves and trying to redefine it with what you think they should be in your life. No. People have to define where they fit in your life for themselves. And then you decide if that works for you or not. We always get into trouble when we try and reposition shit. So sometimes let that curve live. Now, when it comes to disses, ghosting is the ultimate diss. I don't know when, why, who thought that ghosting was okay to do. I just feel like at the end of the day, it is hella impolite. It is absolutely disrespectful and it is rude. And there's simply no reason to do it. I've had people literally like read a message where I'm like, hey, did you ghost? And then just not respond. And it don't even be someone I'm dating. It could be business. It could be a peer, a colleague. And I'm just like, why do you think that this is an appropriate way to behave with people? I don't understand it. I don't do it. Everyone has things that pop up, but you eventually come back and at least say, my bad, especially if someone calls you out and says like, hey, did you ghost? You're like, ooh, I kind of did hit you with the Pac-Man. My fault. Correct it. But when you act like you don't have to say anything, it's literally the equivalent of talking to someone in person and them just walking away mid-conversation and you just see their back. You just gonna show me your back? I don't like it. And I've been told that a lot of guys do this simply because they didn't like something you said in the conversation. And so they're just done with you. What type of petty bullshit is that? I've heard that, you know, it's just a matter of like, well, we don't talk, guys don't talk to each other like that. So they don't really know how to talk to women like that either. What? Listen, y'all, especially when it comes to this texting thing, we can no longer hold on to this whole, oh, I don't know how to text BS. Texting is officially here. It is a part of our communication lexicon. And everybody needs to get good at texting the same way they got good at talking on the phone, the same way they got good at doing codes and beepers, okay? And for all of my hip-hop heads from the early 2000s, the same way that we got amazing at memorizing people's sidekick T-mail addresses, okay? All right. So that's that. Don't diss. Hit them with the curve. If you receive a curve, don't let it curve your trajectory. Let it simply remind you that what's for you is for you, and anything else can go into the wind.
DMG, we're serving it.
All right, my favorite segment, DMT, where we get to connect, or as we say on Insecure, we get to connect with y'all and your questions. Now, these questions all relate to the curve and to rejection. So let's get into it, man. Let's get into it. First question. Hey, Amanda. So this guy I've been talking to for almost 2 years refuses to commit to me. Curve it! Curve it! I don't even know if I want to read the rest of this. Oh! 2 years and he refuses to commit to you, honey. She says, when we met each other, he had just gotten out of a 10-year relationship. Curve it. A while back, we stopped speaking for 6 months and I thought that was it, but he came back. You need to curve it. And since we started talking again, I have been laying the pressure on for him to commit to me. And he always gives me an ambiguous response saying he feels lost right now. Oh. In his life and his mind is right, so he can't think about a relationship. Then he should also stop thinking about your vagina. You know what? Because maybe he just needs a friend. Is this his way of trying to curve me without hurting my feelings? Oh, baby. I hate to be this real with you, but he's not trying to curve you. He is curving you. That's happening actively. You are in a situationship. You are basically in a figure eight right now. You're just being curved. Just curvature. Curvaturey. That's what's happening. And the reality of the situation is that he has every right to live his life how he wants to, but you don't have to be involved in that wild goose chase. You are chasing something that has no intentions of sticking for you. And at the end of the day, it's like, what is your goal here? If your goal is to be in a relationship, then this clearly is not for you. He doesn't want to be in a relationship. This is when we have to get in the mind over matter of things and really work on, you know, controlling our emotions, which, trust me, I'm a Cancer, y'all. That's the hardest shit for me to do, okay? I could change tires. I could run a mile. I can do pull-ups. Controlling emotions, that's some strenuous shit for me. So I understand the struggle. However, compartmentalizing is so necessary and so real. And this guy right here has you very neatly tucked in a compartment, okay? And you are, like, trying to beat your way out. You're, like, you in the back of that nigga trunk. Trying to beat your way. Let me out of this. I want to come sit in the front seat. I want to come sit in the front seat. He's driving. And he's driving. And you in the back just beating it. Beating it. He in the front listening to some shit like, my bitch, that Uzi. And you in the trunk and you hear all of this going on. And you're like, but I want to be in the front seat. And then he pulls over. And he lets you out the trunk. And you get out the trunk. And you like, what the hell gonna happen? What is going on? Why is this happening? And you know what he's gonna do? He's gonna look at you and say, why are you acting crazy? Nigga, because you drove me here. You drove me to crazy. You put me in the back of this trunk and you drove me to crazy with your circuitous, vague situationship BS. Don't let nobody drive you to crazy. Get out the trunk and start walking the other way. And find what you're looking for, because this person does not have it. Whew. Telling that story made me sweat. All right. Next question. I get curved often because I look like a player. However, I don't go out unless I'm getting paid, and you never hear about me treating women bad. I don't even date multiple women at the same time. I date to marry. Usually, the woman comes back around months later and wants to date, but it's usually after some dude has curbed her. Why do women do this? And what does a player look like? I mean, I think the player part of it is subjective. But I think women do this. I mean, listen, I can't speak for everybody. But I think that there's also like this idea that a lot of women like games. I mean, we're in a society and we've basically been trained to like expect that as a part of this process. And when it's not there, I think a lot of women, just like a lot of men, they bristle at like the realities of someone just coming at them directly. It feels like, oh, wait, this is not like what it's supposed to be. And they may not have any experience in dealing with someone who is coming at them that clearly. And I think that the other thing is, a lot of us have been played so many times that when we do see that, we aren't sure how to deal with it, and it may take some time for us to like believe that it's real. And that's what I think a lot of guys are not willing to do. They're not willing to like take the time to demonstrate behaviors that show that they are not the shitty dudes that have come before them. It sucks, I know, because you're like, why do I have to carry that burden on my back? You do, because patriarchy is what it is, and it has allowed for shitty dudes to thrive for centuries. And they're using the same language as you, brother. So that's why when she's like, you look like a player, it's probably because you look like the players that she's dealt with. And she's like, you know what? I don't know about you. I don't know if you really what you say you are. And it takes a couple months for her to be like, you know what? He's still consistently that dude. Even though I was over here with this other dude, you needed the contrast to see that, oh, you were a real one. So, you know, when people say, when I hear the phrase nice guys finish last, I think what I always confuses me about that is that, like, if you still finish in the best place, then it shouldn't matter. You're not running a race. So there is no such thing as finishing last. It's simply that you got the last laugh. And sometimes it takes a little longer for folks to really see the truth about people, because we do live in a world that is so negative. So I don't think you necessarily have to take it as like a, oh, I'm leftovers, or I'm, you know, at the back of the pack. I think a better way to look at it is that you stayed who you were, you stayed true to yourself, and it just takes people a little longer to see that, because you, brother, are up against a lot of cats who are duplicitous in their demonstration of their demeanor and disposition. Next question. Hey, sis, I still haven't perfected the curve with guys I'm trying to do business with. Ooh, this is a good one, a business one. Most times, once I curve them, the business with them goes away. What's the most effective and efficient way? This one is a doozy. Because some of you all might not like what I have to say, because you're going to feel like it's like buying into sexual harassment. And sometimes I absolutely agree with you that you have to just be like, get the hell out of here and keep it moving. However, sometimes you got to like kind of beat people at their own game. And I'm not saying that you lead people on, but what you do have to do sometimes is very deftly divert them without necessarily knocking them down. And the thing about that is that it does actually take like a certain level of skill in order to do it. Because it's like, why do I even have to like use my brain to do this? Why do I even have to like think about these other tactics? We do, because the reality is these guys have been doing this shit for a really long time. When I was in hip hop, my way of dealing with this was with jokes. That's how I ended up being a comic, because I literally just ended up having to find the comedy in the situation to divert these dudes from what they thought they were doing, to get them laughing, to then bring it back around to what I needed it to do, needed it to be. I think that sometimes you end up on a dupe date. I call it a dupe date because you thought you was on a business meeting and you got duped into a date. And next thing you know, a nigga ordering wine and asking you, do you prefer, you know, a Bordeaux or a Sauvignon Blanc? And you're like, I'll have a Sprite. I thought we were talking business. And I think that there's actually like, there really is a nuance. Like, don't let yourself be taken out on business dinner dates. You know, it's like always meet for coffee, day meetings, or meet at somebody's office. You know, we need to meet in an office setting. And I think that that sends the message without shooting them down. When these guys are like taking the business away when you shoot them down, I think what it really is more so is them removing their hurt ego from the situation. And a lot of it is just like figuring out, you're like, damn, I got to stroke these ego. Like, who wants to do it? I feel you. I absolutely feel you. But we are still in this situation. Look at all this Me Too times up. We're still in this world where women are constantly having to deal with men's egos as it relates to them objectifying us, which is amazing, right? It's a similar situation with like white tears in relationship to being 100 about racism. The reality is that there's no easy way to deal with this. I think when it boils down to it, you have to be 10 steps ahead of them in how you can avoid even getting in that space. So like I said, determine where you're going to meet and make it clear from the beginning that you are about the business of things. Don't even let it get beyond any conversation of business. And when it does, you steer it back. You steer it back. Yeah, you know, so I think you'd really be great in this part. And I would love to talk to you about it. You know what I'm saying? You see how my voice went? It went into holler zone. This was business zone, and then it dropped down to holler zone. And all of a sudden, you heard the Quiet Storm playing behind you, and like New Edition, Can't You Stand the Rain came on. And next thing you knew, you was all of a sudden like on a bearskin rug trying to talk about business with somebody who has a bottle of baby oil next to him. And you're like, how did this happen? I don't even understand how this happened. You let it happen. Okay? Reel it back. Dial it back, stay on guard, stay clear and sharp, and stay direct about what you're about. And the reality is this too, you're talented. Like if you're out here and you're trying to get something done, I will never tell anybody that they got to give it up to get anywhere. I have never sucked a dick in my life to get some dough. It's just never been the case. I've been very fortunate to not be in a situation where I had to do that, but I've also been very clear about the fact that I knew it was going to take longer for me to get to where I was going because I'd be carrying my integrity along with me. It's just the facts. Last question. Let's see what it is. So I've been told that I'm too picky. I shoot for the stars instead of just settling. I consider myself a catch, but at times feel like I'm a guy who comes off a bit too strong. I get that you're an amazing guy or too nice. I don't really want to change who I am, but I see when I'm an asshole, I'm not getting the curve. How does one handle that? I think that for nice guys, y'all be thinking that you're being assholes when really you're just playing your cards a little closer to your chest. And so what a woman... I think when you think you're not getting curved because you're being an asshole, really what you're receiving is somebody who's just like letting a little bit more time go by to get to know you. And I said this earlier in the DMTs, like when the good guys are like, why am I getting curved except when I'm an asshole? It's not about being an asshole as much as it's about just like not laying your cards all out on the table so quick, because some people don't know how to handle that. And you got to know your audience. Like I'm somebody who can handle that, especially if I'm feeling you, and we should know if we're feeling each other. And that's the thing. Some guys I feel like they're not reading their audience. They're not reading the room. Like I had a guy talking to me on text, and like within 5 texts of talking, he started dissing another woman because of her body. And I'm like, you're not reading your audience. If you had done any basic research on Amanda Seales, you would know that she is not here for that. She ain't having it, and she's not going to talk about it. And that was done. He got curved to the left, to the left. This guy here in this DMT, he's like, I'm a nice guy, and I get I'm too nice. I think what it is maybe is that you are coming on too strong, like they said. And the question becomes, what does coming on too strong mean? Does it mean that you are hitting them up to a lot, or you are expecting like them to give you responses very quickly in terms of emotional responses that they may not have developed yet? What's other versions of coming on too strong? Coming on too strong can mean like physically coming on too strong. Like, you know, like I'm not ready to kiss you yet, or I'm not ready to smash yet. Shit, I mean, I had a dude within 2 days of knowing him was like, why haven't we fucked? You're coming on too strong. You're coming in hot, buddy. Pull up. And I know that I've had guys where it's like they're coming on too strong simply because I just haven't developed the feelings for them yet that they have for me. And I've had situations where guys have been like, you're coming on too strong because they haven't developed the feelings that I have for them. It's a timing game. timing isn't just about like meeting somebody at the right time in their life. Timing is also about like you and another person riding the same wavelength to get to the same goal. And, you know, if you feel the person and you feel like maybe there's something more there, then you can adjust. But sometimes it's like, you know what? I'm on this wave. I'll catch you on the next one. And that's that. Don't change who you are. Change who you're talking to.
People I like. Yeah.
So, on this episode of Small Doses, our theme is the curve. And
Jesus.
Side effects of the curve. But we have my friend and someone who is naturally curvy.
Uh-huh. Thank you. We just a snack.
Miss Breisha Webb.
Hi.
You know, star of Marlon.
Yes.
Stage and screen.
Come on.
Stand-up, songstress,
you know,
actress,
homegirl,
mother to Littlefoot.
Thank you so much. Shout out to Little.
Yeah. So, Breisha.
Mm-hmm.
On People I Like, I always like to tell people why I like them. So one of the reasons why I like me some Breisha,
okay,
is because outside of your artistic abilities, you know, you're my boo, mm-hmm, the homie. But when you perform, I feel like even though I know you so well, I never feel like I'm watching Breisha. Never. The acting is like, it's always consistent. And that's not always the case with comedy, right?
Because
a lot of times with comedy, you're like, I'm watching my homegirl because I know her point of view. I know her humor. So you see that. And with you, it's never like that. I feel like I'm always watching a full-on character.
Thank you.
And that's whether you are like performing on stage or performing on TV or in a movie, etc. And you always have I don't want to use the word bubbly. There's a joviality,
mm-hmm,
that you bring that is unique to you. And it's not like shucky or jivey.
You know what? Thank you for saying that. Because a lot of people are like, oh my God, you're just so much. Or, you know, people might say that.
That's because y'all ain't enough.
Okay. I'm just shining my light.
Yeah.
That's all. Just being myself.
I don't know how we ended up in the color purple. I'm just
shining my light. It goes in and out. So just be prepared.
It's going to rain on your head.
Thank you, boo.
I want you to know that. You know, me and Breisha, we be talking about just like this business.
Mm-hmm.
And
these men.
We met in an audition room.
Yes, we did.
We met.
And I've been wanting to meet you. I have been waiting just.
Well, I had just got to.
I was waiting.
Y'all ain't seeing the double dutch.
I like her.
Well, I had just moved to LA and like there was your name was just echoed from the good people I met.
Aww.
And it was like, oh, she's a part of the Good People Network. And we were sitting in the waiting room for
Marlon. Yes.
And you were there. And I was like, are you Breisha? And you're like, yes. I'm like, you're Amanda? Yes. And we've been homies ever since.
Ever since.
Now, the curve doesn't just happen with men in relationships or, you know, just breaking, you know, breakups, et cetera. The curve also happens in professional life, especially for us in entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
We make a business, a practice out of dealing with being curved. And so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that because, mm-hmm, you're somebody who came out to LA from Baltimore. Mm-hmm. You went to school.
Thank you for saying it right. Baltimore.
Mm-hmm. Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Baltimore.
Thank you.
What's the other Baltimore word?
Two.
Yeah. So you came out here. You went to school for acting, and then you started to pursue it. And I would love to hear from you just like how you handled the curvery, because you're not going to just pop immediately. And I get people who hit me in DMs all day long like, what's your advice for getting into acting? What's your advice for getting into the arts? And part of it to me is, first of all, learn how to handle a no.
Yeah.
And so I would love to hear from you like how you handled that.
Oh, wow. Let's go back to the story of Breisha. We can go all the way back.
Chapter one. Book of Genesis.
Book of middle school, high school, my whole entire life of the curve. You know, I grew up being different from my whole family. You know, I went to
In
school.
What way?
Well, I mean, I was always this way. Bubbly. I'm from Baltimore City.
Yeah.
You know, everybody is hard. It's snowing.
Yes.
It's
people are getting shot on the street.
Yeah, people are getting shot on the streets. And I'm just this bubbly light,
yeah,
you know, that just loves to make people giggle and people just aren't here for that sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm just so used to people not being able to, you know, really receive me in the right way.
Yeah.
And then just fall in love with me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was the outcast. I went to school with Carmelo Anthony and went to middle school. I went to an all black school. I was called the white girl. I was always being curved. You know, just, like everybody was just yeah. like, that little girl Breach is crazy. I would show up to school with tutus on and dance and do all the assemblies. Black butterfly for Black History Month.
Yes.
You know, someday we'll all be free. You can count on me.
Someday.
I would be right there doing a lunge and a wave hand with an angel dress. Anything at church, I was ready to perform.
Right.
So I didn't care that people didn't receive me or wanted me to be who I was. My mom just raised me to just be myself.
So you were above the curve.
I was above the curve. So
that's
I didn't
hard
really,
to do.
It's hard to do. And my mom, you know, I was always different. So she would, you know, I would say I wanted to be in the TV and, you know, she would take me to auditions and I would book
that's
some
dope.
Things.
She
and
encouraged.
She encouraged it because she was a dancer her whole life. So she was like, I knew you were going to grow up to be a little different.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I grew up with just no's and being okay with no.
Yeah.
You know, and high school being curved by guys and me just going, I just wanted to say hello. You know, I was always this person, you know. So, you know, when I moved to L.A. and I just didn't really care if people didn't accept me for me. I'm still getting adjusted to I'm a grown woman and I have to now be single and deal with. Mm. You know, the curvature of it all,
yeah.
You know, and now that people can see me, you know, but even in the business, you know, the first yes I got was my first audition. Praise God.
What?
Okay. Thank you, Lifetime. And I got Taft Tart lead in and everything like that. But you get so many no's and you get curved. But I was just so I was so OK with it because I was like, every no is going to move me to another yes.
Wow.
Yeah. So and everywhere I go, I made fans. Because I was so optimistic with everything. I was like, okay, you don't want me, but, you know, someone else is. And I don't get really emotionally invested in any project.
Say that. There we go.
I don't get emotionally. I don't get emotionally invested in my auditions. Like, I might really want it. I might pray for it. But I also know that God has a plan for me as well. And so I also just trust the wave of his path for me.
But I love you saying that you don't get emotionally invested in the auditions because there's such a deeper thing to that. Because like when you get and when you attach emotion to something,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're almost like giving control
to this the project that is not that
doesn't care about you.
Doesn't care about you, doesn't have any emotions for you, you know, and things change so many times. Like I remember my first really big audition, I was up for True Blood for Rutina's role Tanya or yeah, that role. And that was like a last minute thing. They had been recasting that like twice. And so last minute, my agent asked me, and I was so green. Oh, my God. I was just a baby. And they said, put yourself on tape. Alan Ball wants to see some new girls just to give it a fresh new take for the testing. I didn't even know what testing meant. You know what I mean? Like, right. I was like, I'm just going to show up and blah, 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 blah. My best friend, Jessica, we lived together.
Yes!
Shout out to Jessica Emanuel. We were roommates and she put me on tape and we just were making fun of this character. Like I was just like, what happens if I'm going to do this at Walmart and I'm just this, you know, girl in New Orleans. One of my close girlfriends is from New Orleans. I got her accent down.
Nice.
I really walked in and these people believed that I was really from New Orleans. And I did not stop talking like I was from New Orleans and I was talking like this. And they were like, wow. We found a real one.
Yeah.
You know, she's so original. He was so authentic. And Alan Ball was like, wait a minute. So you are really from New Orleans? And I was like, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I went up there just lying and everything. And so he was like, come back later. And he was like, dress up. You know,
like
and
the
like the character, but I didn't get dressed up like the character. I just went dressed up in my best outfit, which was a suit. So I went dressed up in front of all these HBO execs in a suit. Because my manager told me to dress up.
To dress.
And this was my most expensive outfit.
Yes, tailored. Tailored.
So I went in there with my business suit.
Oh my God.
To play this New Orleans cash register. Oh. You know, and yeah. So that was a huge curve. And, okay, so I'm not new to this. I'm true to this. Okay.
Yes.
So like seriously, listen, I love being laughing stock. So anyways, you know, I walk in and you know I sit down and they're looking at me like, so why are you here? And I was like, I came in my most, you know, I did the, well, first of all, they didn't laugh at me first. They just were like, okay, I came in ready. I did the whole audition. And they said, Brisha, have a seat. And I said, okay. They said, so tell us about yourself. And I was like, well, you know, I just came here. I graduated not too long ago, blah, 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 blah. They said, so why are you in a suit? I said, y'all told me to dress up in my most nicest outfit. And this is it. This I got this from H&M. This is when I used to buy stuff from H&M.
Yes.
And I said, you know, I spent all my money on this suit. And this is what y'all getting today. And right. They just bust out laughing. They said, we didn't mean dress up in your nicest outfit. We said dress up as the character.
Oh.
And I said, oh, well, then I should go and get my outfit on that I wore for the tape.
Yes.
And they said, yeah.
Yeah.
But we love what you did, though. And that was so authentic. And it worked in my favor because they fell even more in love with me.
Right.
You know, I didn't get the part, but, you know.
But it you was, got their hearts.
I got their
you
hearts.
You didn't get the port.
I didn't get the port, but I got their hearts. And I got all the way to the end of the thing. And the casting director said, are you really from New Orleans? And I said, girl, no, I'm from Baltimore. They were like, oh. You know, but it was great. Tina and I, we laughed about it. We prayed about it before she went in. And I think it went to the most amazing person ever for the role. I wasn't ready. But it was a great experience.
Yes. And that was a curve that led you on the path.
Listen, it told me that I was good enough to get that far.
Yes.
It was a blessing.
Now, we have a segment on the show called That One Time. And we're going to get into it.
Oh, God.
That one time.
So, you know, in this this theme of the curve, you know, we talked about the beingness of things. Mm-hmm. But you were famously curved by someone who, by the way,
you won't tell him.
He ain't got no right to curve nobody. Now, I don't know if y'all know, but at a Golden Globe event, Brisha,
it was a Netflix part.
Yes, Brisha was among the VIPs.
Yes,
you looked splendiferous.
It was a lot lace of makeup,
corset number,
hair and money on my
yes,
outfit.
You were all together put together.
Thank you,
and she. Heard her favorite song come on. Mm-hmm. One Dance. I need one dance.
Well, it wasn't even that song. It was She Lives in My Lap by OutKast.
Oh.
Back in the day, that was my jam.
She lives in my lap. Yeah. Yeah.
It's a beautiful song.
So Breesh saw Aubrey Graham.
Yeah.
AKA Dre.
Drizzle.
Dreezy.
Dreezy. Oh, yeah. Drizzle.
Founder of OVO, Prayer Hands Emoji Tattoo, standing on the side. And she approached him for a dance.
Yeah.
And he curved you.
Yes.
On tape.
Yeah, I didn't even know I was being filmed, okay? I did not even know until I woke up and somebody was like, you're on Shade Room. And then a million people have seen it.
I mean, listen, a public curve is a doozy.
A doozy.
Now, you can we talk about, though, like, you said you didn't get to have a moment. I mean, I think that at this point in our lives, we're, like, so grown that we're just like, how dost thou curve me?
But, you know, I'm so used to the curve. You know, so I was like, I don't even really, like, Drake's cool, but, like, I know a couple people that are just like, Drake, you know? Really, I was just there, and I was just dancing around. I said, oh, Drake's there. Let me just see if he'd like to dance. He's got that song. Yeah. Why not?
And he was just standing there.
He was just standing there. He wasn't really DJing on a turntable like you do, you know? Okay, shout out to you. I see what DJs do. He was pressing enter on a playlist. He wasn't doing shit. So I said, maybe he would like a dance. And I'm not throwing my butt on him. I just wanted a little two-step.
No, and you really approached.
Yes.
Just like, hey. I'm
a lady.
Yeah.
I'm a lady. So he flung me away like a
he
little
didn't,
peasant.
I didn't like that hand motion.
Listen, when you're dealing with, you know, I won't say what that was. but, you know, God bless them. But
fill in the blanks.
You know, and you can say no. I say no to people all the time.
Yes, because there's a difference between a curve and a diss. We talked about it earlier in the show. There's a curve and a diss. You know, a curve, a diss is disrespectful. Yes. A curve is a polite decline.
Yes, a polite decline.
However, sometimes I'm just like, you are in no position to politely decline me.
Yes. And he was like, he smiled really quick and then went back to work. And so that's why I didn't think it was a big deal.
Okay.
I just was like, ooh, he doesn't like to dance. So, you know,
but
so,
the internet's making a big deal.
The internet is like, she thirsty. You know, exes are texting me like, I didn't know what would come down to this. I'm like, y'all, come.
Oh, my.
This has just been, but you know, God, he used it for my good. Got my followers up. I'm in three digits.
Yes.
You know, that stuff don't mean shit to me, but hey, I'll accept.
Elevation Nation. I can't wait to be there, though, because what's going to happen is what always happens. Mm. The turnaround and then, let's film it. Now I'm going to dance with her. Let's film it. I can totally see it.
I'm not even here for it, though.
No, like, absolutely not.
I'm not
here. I will be right there. I will be right there like, I would be right there cackling.
Thank you, babe.
Cackling.
Thank
you. Because listen, the curve, you know, receiving the curve is a doozy. You know, we talk about in the show just like a lot of guys, just people in general, they can't handle a curve. It makes them go into like catastrophic tragedy
people
places.
People are so intimidated by just, I'm so sick of parties in LA or anywhere where people just are standing there.
Yes.
Like if I want to go and ask someone for a dance, I'm not going to wait for someone to ask me for a dance.
Just go ask.
Just go ask.
But like, people don't want to do that because they're afraid of the
rejection.
Curve. They're afraid of rejection.
No.
And rejection is a real thing, you know? I mean, I've been curved. I recently was curved.
No.
Curved? I slid into a DM.
Ooh.
I didn't even slide into the DM. The DM was already open. And I said, cutie. Because he had a picture that was cute. And I said, cutie. And he replied, Happy New Year to you and your family as well.
And your family? He going to bring your family into this curve? Disrespectful.
Yeah.
Disrespectful.
And I call.
No.
Yes.
You are wrong, whoever you are.
Yeah, I because there's all different kinds of curves, and I cover them earlier in the show. But that is what we call, the diversion curve.
The diversion
curve. Yeah, just to divert.
Yeah, divert, but also he cares about your family.
Every picture and every post has been liked since.
See?
Because, you know, I'm also Amanda, so I replied back and said, ooh, that curve hit me in my neck.
Oh no!
It hit me in my neck, and he was like, "LOL." And then I think that he genuinely like didn't realize that he had maybe like curved. And then he tried to send me a meme that had nothing.
Maybe it wasn't a curve though. Maybe it's like maybe just take it. You know,
I just said cutie. It's not like I said, "Hey, can we set up a time for us to do?"
I mean, is he a professor? Is he gonna get like a, you know?
When
I don't
tell
know.
You off the record who it is. You're
okay.
gonna be like, "What?"
Okay, yeah. Well, I can't wait for that moment.
Yeah. So, but then I remember in high school. So, did you watch The Bachelor, The Bachelorette, with the black?
Oh, with
Bachelorette?
The black girl. I didn't watch all of them. I watched.
Well,
the first
there was a guy
episode.
On there that I went to high school with.
Oh, the black guy,
the wrestler. Yeah, I went to high school with him, and he and I had went to homecoming. But then he became like a real prick, and he would call me Shitty Spice because he had a crush on my friend Kristen, and Kristen was like, "Listen, Amanda has a crush on you. Like, I can't do her dirty like that." And so he decided that, and he would retaliate by calling me Shitty Spice. And so he would literally yell Shitty Spice throughout the halls, like Shitty Spice. It was terrible.
That's awful.
Then, as what happens, like you said earlier, people curve you, and then they're like, "But wait a minute, we kind of
did have something. Didn't
we love you."
Yeah.
So then, by the end of the year, when it was prom time, he tried to step to me for prom. And I literally curved him via a Maya song. Like, people were standing around, and I was like, in the words of Maya and Silk the Shocker, I'm moving on.
Yes, the throne. I love Silk the Shocker still to this day, okay? Him in that baby blue suit. Oh,
yes.
My God, that baby blue.
And he was literally just, like, standing there dumbfounded. And I really, like, me and my girls, like...
You learned the choreography, didn't you?
We did a kick, pivot, two-step, and a head roll, body wave, and we're out.
Because it wasn't a school, remember?
Yes, it wasn't a school. Yeah.
I remember.
And so that's how that went down. And that was, like, that was one of my strongest curves to the day. Because it was like, you know what? This came back to me.
Yeah.
It was like a boomerang. Mm-hmm. He tried to curve me with the boomerang, and it came back. And I got the opportunity. And you know what? But this is the other thing I want to say to people. If you get curved, don't take it personal.
No.
Ever. Don't take it personal. And just know that if the curve comes back around to you, you don't got to be shitty either.
No. If Drake wanted to come up and say, hey, I would like a dance with you, would you... You know, I would just be like, you know what? You get me seated with my palm up. You just get this.
You get this.
This is what you get.
I'm sitting for this.
I'm
eating this lobster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you bring me my wine first?
Thank you, because I like wine.
But that's
Sauvignon Blanc.
You know, I feel like we both survived curves and we give curves because you've definitely handed out a curve or two.
Well, I, you know what? I'm not, you know, I'm always so nice about it. But, you know, if you're a jerk to me, I'm going to be a jerk. But if you're nice to me, I'm going to love you forever.
How do you hand out a curve to a jerk? Are you a ghoster? Are you a, I'm going to pull up all the receipts and present them to you like we're in a court of law? Are you a quick one-liner? Because I'm really good for a stay up.
Stay up. To an asshole?
Mm-hmm.
I go straight Baltimore. I'm really.
Can I hear something like what that's
oh,
like?
Oh, gosh. Somebody came up to me and they said, you know, what was that one guy who came up to me and said, you know, I really like, you know, your the way you look and your ass is fat. And I said, you know what, sir? Fuck you for not coming to me the way you would to your sister or the way a man should come to a woman. You know, I'm a woman. I'm a woman.
And you said fuck you to him.
I said fuck you.
And what was his response to that?
Oh, you a bitch. Okay. Well, you already called me a bitch, so I guess I be's a bitch.
And now tell me, what is a version of a curve for like a nice person who's just like hollering but not on the docket? What
Good
does that
luck.
Sound like?
Good luck. Aw, good luck.
I think that's still asshole.
Still asshole?
Yes.
Oh, good luck.
Good luck. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Oh, good luck.
Oh, bless your heart.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Because really, I wish you luck and I wish you blessings.
It's genuine.
It's genuine. It's genuine. Okay. Truly. Honestly.
Truly. British.
British. Truly. See, I told you we're going to go everywhere today. We're going to go everywhere.
Well, I hope that people have learned a little bit or two about how to deal with a curve. Because listen, like getting a curve from Drake, you know, some of our listeners are huge Drake fans. In their minds, they're like, bitch, the fact that you got a curve from Drake is even like something to be winning. And it's like, no, nobody's. And listen, the other part of it is this. Nobody is above a curve.
No one.
And we all need to know that. Nobody is above a curve. No matter your status, no matter your sexual choice, no matter your gender, everybody is curvable.
Everyone's curvable. And I think we need to just unite on these curves and take more curves.
Or just be like Mariah. And when we get curved, take them to court and be like, you know what? I'm going to need $13 million for wasting my time with this curve.
Listen, she lost a whole tour on his ass.
Yeah.
You know, so, get your money.
Come up off your curve.
Come up off your curve, okay? I got my followers up, Drake. Thank you. Thank you, Shade Room. Thank you, Algie Smith, for posting something so embarrassing. But, you know, it's all good.
It is. And it is all good that we were able to have you here on Small Doses.
I love Small Doses.
Thank you.
It's a small doses.
You're like a small dose.
Thank you.
Brisha has a little small dose of jubilance.
Whatever. Yeah, I make a lot of sounds.
And we can watch you on Marlon season 2.
Marlon season 2. And I have Acrimony coming out. It's Tyler Perry's new movie with Taraji. It's going to be good. Suspense thriller. And what is it? I'm in Night School. I'm in Meet the Blacks. Yeah.
Films.
Yeah, so we're working. We're booked.
And blessed.
And blessed. Booked and blessed. Highly favored. Also an old woman as well.
Yeah, I heard it right there. There was cotton on your vocal cords.
All in favor.
The last dose.
Curves, man. It's a doozy. Giving them and receiving them. I was on the set of Insecure, and the hairstylist said to me once, Amanda, man's rejection is God's protection. Now, I don't necessarily have a religious background, but I do believe in the simple fact that we are all here on this earth and what's for us is for us. We talked about it earlier in the show. And that when someone pushes you away, they're oftentimes pushing you in a better direction. Go with it. And when you're on the end of giving the curve, you don't gotta be a dick. You don't gotta be an asshole. The curve does not have to be disrespectful. The reality is that we're all just here, and most of us are trying to do our best with our time here. And so whatever works for you, works for you. And if someone feels like you don't work for them, then you say, hey, but I'm gonna keep on walking. It's been another episode of Small Doses. I'm Manna Seals. You want to get more of these flavors, but in a live video perspective, check out my IG stories, Instagram, Amanda Seals. See you on the next episode. Well, I guess talk to you on the next episode. It's a podcast.